Welcome to the Servants of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Our podcast exists to provide trustworthy expository messages through the Bible and faithful answers to your theology questions. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it to John chapter 4. Yes, we're already in John chapter 4. Hard to believe, I know. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Hear the word of God. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In last week's study, we began to look at this woman at the well. And we saw how, you know, Jesus does everything he can to reach this woman. He crosses religious, sociological, and cultural boundaries in order to reach this woman. And today, we're going to see Jesus offering this woman eternal life, a life that she was always meant to have, a life that God wants us to have. And we live in a world today that, quite frankly, offers us all sorts of water. Obviously, metaphorically. It offers us all sorts of drink. Drink from the fountain of this TV show. And slurp it up! Enjoy it! But the problem is most TV shows, most movies, most music is not godly. And so we're drinking from the wrong well. I'm not advocating that we not enjoy a movie or a TV show or anything like that, but I'm saying, where are we primarily drinking from? From the well of the world or from the well of living water? And this is what Jesus is talking about here in this passage with this woman at the well in the town of Sychar in Samaria. Jesus said that the source of living water was not in Jacob's well, in which he sat with the Samaritan woman, as we saw last week. Jesus is a fount of eternal life, and his water will satisfy. His life will satisfy us in himself. And Jesus says in John 4:10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now Jesus is showing this woman that her question is based on the wrong presupposition. She proceeded from the assumption, "You, a Jew, are needed and helpless. I, a Samaritan woman, am self-sufficient and am therefore able to meet your need." Jesus, in verse 10, shows that the opposite is true. She is the one who needs water, and he is the fountain able to supply it to her. And when Jesus says the living water, he means himself. But the woman interprets Jesus saying, "He would have given you living water," as he would have given you not the water which has for some time been standing in the well, but the spring water at the bottom of it. And in the mind of Christ, fresh and pure water and never-ceasing spring water was what he's talking about is everlasting life or salvation. And the woman does not understand this. Who is speaking to her? Namely, the author of salvation, the giver of life. And what is meant by the living water of which he speaks? In order to understand this, let's talk now about how Jesus employs the Bible's frequent link between water and life. In Jesus' day, living water referred to fresh living water, in contrast to the stagnant water found in wells. The Bible uses living water as a reference to the gift of abundant life through the Holy Spirit that God promised through the Messiah. In Jeremiah 2:13, God described himself as a fountain of living waters. Psalm 37:9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life." Isaiah 44:3 tells of the coming day of salvation, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring." Later in John, we'll look at this passage, John 7:37-38, which says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" And now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. "For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." The last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, depicts a river of the waters of life flowing from the throne of God and of His Son, the Savior Lamb, in Revelation 22, verse 1. And in making this offer, Jesus summarized the gospel in terms of two things the world needs to know. He says, "If you knew the gift of God." And the issue is what we need to know. God has eternal life as a gift, offers eternal life as a gift for those who will receive it. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And we may bring our parched souls to the living water of Jesus Christ, and He will save us." John 4:10 says, "If you knew who it is that is speaking," we need to know who Jesus is. He is the Savior whom God has sent to die in our place and for our sins. In these two statements is our whole gospel. That is what we and others need to know in order to be saved. What is the gift of God and who Jesus is as the one who gives it. And then we must ask of Him, and He will bring eternal life as living waters for our souls. God's gift of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 4:11-12, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus' answer in verse 10 and her response in these verses shows that she's so focused on the natural and not on the supernatural. And her response shows her unbelief. We saw in John 3:19 that unbelief is caused by a moral commitment to sin. Many people are kept from God by cultural blinders and barriers, which Jesus crossed in ministering to this Samaritan woman. And now, in her response, we see another reason, another barrier, and that is spiritual inability. She simply was not able to grasp what Jesus meant in His offer of salvation to her. Here, she was an earthly, worldly person, unable to think in spiritual terms. Ephesians 2:1-3 teaches that fallen mankind is dead to spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." And the woman is a perfect example of this sort of teaching, for she could only think of in terms of physical water and literal wells. Nicodemus was also unable to understand Jesus in John 3. Jesus said to him, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This woman did not understand. She could not see what Jesus was talking about. First, she might have thought, "Well, Jesus, you don't have a pail," according to John 4:11. And second, she could not see how Jesus could do better than so great as a man as the patriarch Jacob in John 4:12. Jacob's well remains in Samaria today. It is about 100 feet deep. It was likely deeper in Jesus' day. But people today, they think the same as this woman. Jesus is not somebody they take seriously because he's not a powerful figurehead of a powerful organization. Or he doesn't command worldly resources. The people who matter, they think, are those who allocate riches, who promote people, or provide valued goods and services. And despite his unparalleled religious status, Jesus is thought to be of little earthly good. And most people like this Samaritan woman only ever think of earthly things. Jesus did not bring any advanced technology and simply could not compare with people who really matter, such as Jacob, who at least was the head of a great nation. People today want advice on relationships. They want to play. They don't want to talk about theological jargon. The problem with such thinking goes back to what Jesus is trying to say to us in John 4:10. The truth is that the spiritual realm is far superior to that of the earthly or the material realm. God's gift of spiritual life is more valuable than earthly riches. Though Jesus seems easy to dismiss, God has a plan through Jesus. Ephesians 1:20-22. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated with him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Even when it comes to our earthly concern, jobs, families, and health, Jesus has far more power than any earthly authority. Jesus has authority over our eternal souls. And unless we come to him in faith, we are already condemned, John 3:18 says, for not believing in the name of God's only Son. Does this not inspire us to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? This woman had many needs. She needed relationship advice. She needed genuine help. She has the stress of being rejected by other women. And she needs help getting water from the well, among many of her other problems. But her greatest need was to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ himself. And this is why we need to preach the gospel, not lifestyle tips or the self-help gospel of our culture today. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. And so we must believe it. Until we can proclaim it to ourselves, we must proclaim it to ourselves until we believe it, and then to everyone. Nothing but God will ultimately satisfy us. St. Augustine says, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. And whether we know it or not, Psalm 42 speaks for us all. One speaks for us all. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. You see, we all have broken areas in our lives. Areas where we're experiencing the effects of the fall. Whether that be in our marriages, in a friendship with, you know, a good friend, at church, or something else. We all have real hurts and real pains. And Christ wants to bring his living water, his healing grace, into that area of your life. To bring his living water and pour in his grace that will satisfy us, that will address the hurts. And he promises to come and to heal our hurts and heal our souls. John 4:13-14, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, Jesus here, he addresses this woman's need for himself. But there is a condition to what Jesus offers here. He specifies whoever drinks. Jesus did not direct us to fulfill some question or from moral or religiously at a certain high level. He does not put a price tag on this water. He just says, whoever drinks. He's speaking of simple faith. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Leon Morris comments, the gift of living water is not a reward for meritorious service. It is a gift that brings to anyone who receives it, no matter how insignificant and limited he or she may be, a total new experience, a new power, and a new life. Life that is eternal. You see, this woman's sins did not keep Jesus from offering her salvation. He brings up her sins later in the conversation, but not before offering her salvation, knowing that if she believes, his death on the cross will cleanse her of her sin and give her new life. You see, when we fulfill the condition of salvation, that is receiving God's gift through faith alone, there is a glorious consequence. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, Jesus says, will never be thirsty again. You see, Jesus came to satisfy our souls. And this does not mean that all of our trials cease and that life in this world is transformed into an unending paradise. To follow Jesus is to pick up his cross and endure many hardships in life, not the least of which is our warfare with sin. But we gain soul fulfillment only through our fellowship with God. Earthly things lose their appeal. The more worldly and sinful they are, the more thoroughly their luster fades, and we find permanent satisfaction for the thirst of our souls. Finally, Jesus speaks of a change that will result in verse 14. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And this refers to the new birth by the Holy Spirit of God. To be born again is to have a spiritual fountain welling up within you, as God himself lives and moves in your heart. And the result of this change, with the ever-flowing fountain of spiritual power that it opens up, are faith, godliness, and unfailing joy. Psalm 16:11. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you experience that today? If you are not a Christian, this is what Jesus offers you. If you come to Jesus, he will save you through faith and give you life abundant. And if you are a Christian, are you experiencing this today? Do you enjoy the blessings of the Holy Spirit's fountain in your heart? You see, the tragedy today is that many people and many Christians are not experiencing this reality in their lives. But Christians should be, of all people, the one who have found the true fountain of eternal spiritual life, and who know of its blessings of righteousness, peace, and joy. But many Christians go their entire lives without experiencing this truth that Christ has for them. This is one reason why our witness is so often so ineffective. And some Christians live so close to the world and fill their hearts with worldly things. Are you doing this today? If so, wean yourself from earthly pleasures and treasures and start serving Jesus in all of your life. Stop craving for worldly success. Stop drinking from worldly thoughts and renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find refreshing waters flowing freely once again. Others have stopped up the spring of the Holy Spirit with sinful habits or attitudes. If you are truly a Christian, you can never ultimately block the Holy Spirit. But how much better for you to repent today and forgive as needed and to walk in the light, cleansed by Christ's blood and refreshed by his fellowship. Jesus says to all who would come to him, for the first time or once again, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The woman heard Jesus' offer of life, its condition, its consequence, and its change, and still replied with worldly understanding. John 4:15 says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. But Jesus was not done with her. And he would continue working into her heart until she understood and believed. And when she finally did, she responded with a joy that changed her life and the lives of many others. You see, today we live in a culture that is perverse. We live in a culture where we are seeing many, many people abandon biblical truth. The idea that God desires one man and one woman to be married for their entire lives. Many men and many women are drinking from the well of pornography, even in the church today. They are drinking from the wrong founts. They have bought into the lie that homosexuality is God's best for man. And that's tragic. Because what Jesus offers is true satisfaction. And we will seek it. We will seek it in anything else other than God. And this is what this woman, she was so focused on earthly things that she could not see that right before her was Jesus Christ himself. Your unsaved friends, they have no eyes to see. They have no ears to hear unless the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. You might be witnessing to them, continue to share Christ with them. Continue to show them what it means to live a consistent Christian life. That is the best response to our culture that says, you know what? Well, that's your truth. That's not my truth. So truth to them is just something that you feel. But what they need to see is Christians taking seriously their faith, drinking deeply from the well of life in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus Christ himself offers to this woman that is so broken. She doesn't see her need. And yet Jesus doesn't begin with her sins. He begins with his offer of salvation. And that is the offer that Jesus Christ offers to everybody. But not everybody will come because they don't believe. They have unbelief in their heart. They have no eyes to see nor ears to hear. And yet we still keep calling men to believe in a particular Savior who is saving a particular people for his own possession, a treasure, with the treasure of his own blood. And maybe today you're struggling. You know what? I can relate. This week I had to repent myself of being so focused on so many things going on in my life, so many good things, that I had lost sight again of God. And maybe that's you today. You're like me. You can relate. I resemble that remark. Right? But that's what God offers us. He offers us living water. That is the promise of eternal life. It's not only the promise to this woman. It was the promise to Nicodemus. It's the promise to everyone who repents and believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I plead with you who are not saved to be reconciled to God. And you who are Christians, stop seeking after the world. Stop pursuing its lusts and its passions. Stop pursuing worldly thinking and worldly notions of success. Stop giving yourself over to the world. And start saturating your heart and minds in Christ, who is your treasure. He is your living water. And he has caused you, he has taken that heart of stone and he has replaced it with a new heart, with new affections and new desires, all for himself. And you as a Christian, like I did this week, we need to repent. Repentance is the Christian life. That's what Luther said. That was his first point on when he hammered the 95 Theses. To that wall in Wittenberg, in Germany, during the Protestant Reformation. Christian life is one of ongoing repentance. We don't ever outgrow our need of repenting of sin. We continue to need the living water for the broken cisterns of our lives. Because we drink from the wrong well. Whether that's the well of that movie, that primary thing that you're attaching value and worth to in your life. You can follow the trail of your affections. And when you do, you'll find out what you're actually worshiping, where your life is truly invested in. Look at what you're talking about. Look at where your heart continues to go. We have a Savior in Jesus who is our treasure. He is our living water. He is our hope. And He is peeling back the layers of our hearts. And He pours in His Spirit. He pours in living water to the broken and to the humble. And we are all broken. And we all must be humbled. We are humbled because of what Jesus has done. And we are to stand amazed at what He has done in His death, His burial, and His resurrection.
Thank you for listening to the Servants of Grace podcast today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or by searching Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this podcast on the front page of our website at servantsofgrace.org.